We come now to the second installment of our mini-series, A Tale of Two Seekers, which we had started a couple of weeks ago. First, it was in John chapter 3 about the story of Nicodemus. And now we go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we could find the story of another interesting character, which is the woman at the well. The story of the Samaritan woman, or the story of the woman at the well, is considered to be a divine encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. It is rather a very familiar story, I would think. Most of us probably have read and heard many times in the pulpit, Sunday schools, and Bible studies. Or you have read it yourself, or you teach it yourself. But hope today, we could be able to have something different as we're going to dig down a little bit deeper into the passage and into the story. So, what is interesting is that John put this story, these two stories together, back to back, John chapter 3 and John chapter 4, and I think there is a reason that he did it for that. Because I think the reason is that we could be able to clearly see the difference and the contrast, the similarities and the contrast between these two characters and how Jesus approached these two individuals. Bear with me, and we're going to do that in a moment. So our simple outline for today that we're going to follow would be: one is that we're going to cover 4 points. One is the woman at the well. Who is this woman? Number two, the surprise offer. Number three, the barrier. And number four, the result. What's going to happen to the woman? So, so let's open our Bibles to John chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 1 up to 4. We'll see in a moment. Let's read together, verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though John himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Verse 4. But he needed to go through Samaria. So John tells us that now that Jesus is heading, going to the north and going to Galilee, and he need to go to Samaria. And we're going to cover about, and why he's going to go to Samaria? And we will know it in a moment. Let's go for our outline. So we're going to know who is this woman at the well. We're going to first this one to set the context so that we will understand this amazing encounter. One is that, who is this woman of the well? Who is this woman at the well? One is that we know on what the scriptures, the passage that we had just read, or we on our scripture reading, is one is in verse 7, we find that the woman is a Samaritan woman of Sychar. Okay. And what is a Samaritan? The Samaritan is, they are a half-bred Jews. it's a mixture of Jews and Assyrians during the exiles. And so they are not pure Jews and not pure Assyrian either. So the Jews didn't accept them because they are not pure Jews. At the same time, the Assyrian didn't accept them because they are not pure Assyrian either. So they adopted their own culture and they adopted the religions. So however, their culture is mixed. It's mixed Jews and mixed Assyrians. At the same time, the religions is considered to be a corrupt form of Judaism blended with paganism. So that's why the Jews hated the Samaritan. At the same time, the Samaritan also hated back the Jews. So that's a bit of a context. Number two, B. So this woman, as we know in verse we read, is that have had five husbands and now living in adultery in number six. So this woman is an immoral woman, a sinful, adulterous woman. So in the Pentateuch, Moses allowed divorce because one important reason, adultery. Okay. So maybe this woman has had multiple divorce, and he considered immoral because of adultery. C. He is considered an outcast of the society because he is considered to be a dirty woman, so the woman don't like her, and because he's considered a filthy woman, so he is an outcast of the society, avoiding socializing with others. Next. So let's compare now the difference between Nicodemus. Before we're going to dig down to the story, let's compare now the difference and the similarities between this woman and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Jew, a pure Jew, a man, but she is not. Nicodemus was highly educated, rich, morally upright, devout, religious, respected in the society, belongs to the social elite group of the society and the upper class of the society. But this woman is an outcast, immoral, sinful, and belonged to the lowest class of the society. She was not like Nicodemus, who knows Jesus, have seen his miracle, have seen Jesus, have heard Jesus. The bottom line, she doesn't know Jesus who he is. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, seeking for something lacking to him. But his woman, he considered to be an incident. Maybe this is an incident to her. So what do you think? What was lacking to this Samaritan woman? We're going to find out in a moment. Probably he's seeking for comfort, protection, satisfaction, peace. If you think that this woman having five husbands, having experienced multiple divorce and living in adultery, what do you think? What do you think this woman lack? What is seeking for? Next. I think he's seeking for love, right? He's seeking for love. He's seeking for somebody else who could feel the longing of her heart, the love that he longed for. So what do you think? Let's move on. Anyway, let's move on to our study. Let's look at verse 4 again in a moment. Verse 4, this is very interesting. But he needed to go through Samaria. Does Jesus really need to go through Samaria going to Galilee to the north? Let's look at the map. Let's look at the graphic. We have a graphic here just about regarding the map. Okay. So the if you look at the map, I'll give you a bit of imagination. Go to the map. Zoom it a little bit. Okay, so Judea is at the bottom, it's in the south. Samaria is in the middle. And Galilee is on the north, at the top. Okay. So if Jesus is a rabbi, a Jew is a rabbi, so Samaria is in the middle. So you see, be able to see Sychar at the middle, and it is in between of Mount Gerizim and Mount of Ebal. Okay, so there are two mountains. Okay, next slide. So, if you look at the map, the Jews who are devout and teacher especially, teacher of the Jew or rabbi, if they are going to, if they came from Galilee, if you know the story about the story that Jesus normally, when they do the pilgrimage, attending a festival to Jerusalem, they don't pass through Samaria normally. They go through the eastern route, you mean to say they pass through Jordan on the east, down to Perea, cross Jordan back to Judea. Or they could go to the western route, going to the coastal route, down and go to Judea. But in this case, John mentioned it here, that in this case, Jesus needed to go to Samaria. Now, why do you think is that? Why he really needed to go to Samaria? What's the reason? What's the reason? I think the big reason is that because Jesus has a divine appointment before the foundation of the world. He has a divine appointment with a Samaritan woman at the well by 12 o'clock. So let's pick up verse 5. Verse 5. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So he arrived at the well, tired, sat down at the well. At the middle of the day, when the blazing sun is at its peak, sitting there alone at the edge of the well, waiting for the woman to arrive. Now the stage is set for this amazing, perfect, and divine encounter which is about to happen. Let us pray first. O Lord, our God, our loving Father, the Almighty, we ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit to enlighten us and grant us the understanding, the story in a deeper sense. Open our eyes, our ears, and our heart to understand your word, the living word, the truth. And speak to us in a very special way. to let your word speak to us with authority. I don't have the authority. Yet, O Lord, be our teacher and speak with us with authority from your word. And prepare our hearts and mind to listen to you and accept the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the stage is set. The story at the end. So this is now we're gonna embark now to the story of this Samaritan woman. This story has been it happens more than 2,000 years ago already. And it's been, as I said, it's been told and retold, we're still reading it today. But here's the one thing I would like you to, we don't want to miss, in order to understand the story, and especially the writing of John, okay? The writing of John. So let's go to, so because the Gospel of John, according to the Gospel of John, he has a purpose of his writing. Let's see the next slide. Okay, so let's read here John chapter 20, verse 31. He illustrated here the, bear this in mind when you're reading the Gospel of John, okay? Beginning in verse 30, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So that's the main theme of the Gospel of John. And has two main purposes, two aspects of it. Next slide. One is that the writing of John is, the reason is that to present, he is presenting an evidence that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is God, having the same essence with God. That's the first element. The second element is that by believing, we might be saved through him. So hope we get that. Okay. So now, let's go to verse 7 now. So what's going to happen now? Okay. Verse 7. A woman of Samaritan came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciple had gone away into the city to buy food. Verse 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans." Verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is this who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Next slide, please. So what is this? So what's the offer here? So we're going now to number two, the surprise. So what is the surprise offer, right? So divine appointment changing the conversation, verse 10. We read in verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God," I would like to highlight these two words here. And so here's the offer of Jesus. If you knew the gift of God, need to say it implies that this woman cannot know it. But if she knew the gift of God, what is the gift of God? What is the gift of God? It's a free gift of God, right? It's a free gift of God, the Dorian. It's a free gift. I will give it to you unless you ask, right? It's a free. But unless you ask, you cannot have it. This is what the scripture says, and this is the presentation of John. Next. So what was the offer? The living water. What is the living water? So to the mind of the woman, probably he's thinking, living water? Are you talking about a spring water down there? Because the spring water considered to be a living water, right? It's flowing. It's from the spring, right? But Jesus is thinking differently, right? Is Jesus thinking a living water? No. He's thinking about a different kind of water. He's talking spiritual. But the woman's still thinking about the physical spring water down there. So that's very interesting. Next slide, please. So the woman said, verse 11. Let's read this one. Verse 11, the woman said. So there is the response, right? But before that, you know the conversation. This is strange because so the woman said, the conversation starting that Jesus is very tired, sitting by the well, and it seems to be the woman came, but it's before he left, right? Because he doesn't want to engage with Jesus, a Jew. She's a Samaritan, and she doesn't want to engage with Jesus. But before she left, Jesus initiated the conversation. And she asked, give me a drink. And the woman said, why are you asking me a drink? You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan. The Jews doesn't have dealing with Samaritans. You know, the other words for that is that, you know, the dealings there. It's simply to give you a bit of a understanding. We understand that the Jews exactly doesn't use the same utensil. Okay? Doesn't engage in any conversation. At the same time, basically, the Jews and the Samaritan, they don't drink on the same cup. They doesn't drink on the same vessel. So that's what it is. But before the woman left, he engaged in a conversation, ask me a drink. The woman seems to refusing it. How is it? Jesus turns the table. He engaged in a conversation. Jesus is it seems to be he is the one need the water. As the woman with for a drink, she refuses. Jesus turns the table and identified here as the thirsty one. Is that sounds interesting? And let's see the response from the woman. Wait a second, I'm not the one thirsty. You are the one thirsty, right? Why are you offering me something? Did the woman ask for anything? No. But he offered him something out of nothing, right? But he gives the offer. This is what you call the grace of God, right? The mercy of God. He offers him something. But let's see in a moment. Where are we? Verse 11, okay? Next slide. So what is the living water then? So the living water that Christ mentioned is that the living water, when you drink of it, you will not thirst anymore. Okay. Verse, I will read here. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to eternal life, everlasting life. So here's now the eternality of this offer. That this is basically, I'm not talking to the water down there, woman. I'm talking to the gift of God, which is the living water, that once you have it, it will become in you a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. This is the eternality of a gift. So it is constantly flowing and flowing into eternal life. It means eternal life. So, next slide, please. So, what is everlasting? So this is, the offer is eternal life, salvation, the mercy of God. Verse 15. Verse 15, let us read. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw water." At this point, what do you think? Is the woman understand what Jesus was saying here? Does a woman understand where is this conversation going to go? Did the woman understand that Jesus is talking about the gift of God, the eternal gift of God? Probably not at this point. But probably the woman said, if you're giving me this water, then I'm not going to go back here again and not going to be thirsty. Whatever it is, just give me. Just give me the drink. I want it. I want it. Who doesn't want that water? If that's the offer, probably you say, yes, I want it. I want it. Could you give it to me? So let's move on. What exactly will happen here? This woman will have this living water that Jesus is trying to offer. Now let's go to the barrier. What's the barrier here? Next slide, please. Living water, give me this. Okay. Next. All right. Okay. Verse 16. Let's read it. Verse 15. Okay. Verse 16. Let's read it. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband, and come here. And I will give it to you." So I would like to point out this. There are three definitive commands here. Okay. This is not a request. This is a command from the authority of a living Christ. Okay? One, go, call, and come. And what was the response of the woman? Verse 17. And the woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that, you spoke truly." So since the woman thus refuses to tell him the whole truth, Jesus tells her the whole truth instead. Is that great? You could be able to see here the Godhead of Jesus, that he understands, he knows your mind, the minds of this woman, not even the mind, but the history of this woman. And the woman was shocking. How could you know that? I didn't tell you anything. First time I met you. And the second thing is, you don't know my relatives. You don't know my husband. Let's move on. So here, it comes very interestingly. From the offer of the mercy of God, now Jesus goes to something different. Okay? So what is Jesus is trying to say here? Verse 16. Okay. Verse 16, I could give it to you, but first, there's a problem. What's the problem? Because you're sinful. You're sinful past. We need to deal with it first. Next slide. So the point of Jesus is trying, John is trying to present here is that sinner must be brought face to face with their guilt and feel the sureness of the divine judgment measured against the holy law of God to truly repent and believe the need of a Savior. Yes, you can have the gift, but there's a barrier. You need to repent and believe that you need a Savior. So at this point, the conversations go sideways a bit, that I could give it to you, but not a drop of it. You can have it unless we deal with your sin. You see that? You see it? It's a very big barrier. So the Gospel of John not only presenting about the mercy and the grace of God, but at the same time, John represent here that God is just. And we could be able to see it placed here in the passage, especially in the stories. So there's the play of grace, mercy, now we deal with the justice. And I would like you to understand these three words. Let's go to the next slide. So what is justice? What is mercy? What is grace? Okay, so next slide, please. So here's a simple definitions that I would like you to see. Probably you know it, but for those who are taking a notes at the end, if you're taking a notes, we have the whole outline here for you that will guide you, that you could be able to use it and you could be able to teach it someday when you understand this one. Number one, justice, here's the thing, justice is giving you what you deserve. So what you deserve, if you are a sinner, you deserve punishment because you are a sinner. Number two, mercy. What is mercy? However, through the mercy of God, mercy withholding what you deserve. You deserve punishment? Mercy withholding, you deserve punishment. Without holding the punishment. Number three, grace. What is grace? Grace is giving you what you do not deserve. Pardoning of sin. You cannot repay your sin. You cannot atone your sin. You cannot atone yourself. It is only through the grace of God. You don't deserve to be free, but this is the grace of God. So this is the simple definitions that plays out between justice, the justice of God, the mercy of God, and the grace of God. Hope that helps. Next slide, please. Now, so, and next slide, please. Okay, so yes, here, with the sinful heart. So here, the true faith should be accompanied by repentance. Because the requirement in order for you to receive the gift is to have the faith. But not only faith. Faith without repentance is not acceptable, according to John. But it is faith with repentance. That's the requirement. So what will be the result? Let me see. Next slide, please. Oh, here's another one. So how do you know my past? So in verse 19, she come to know. Now, verse 19, let's read together. Verse 19, let's read. I respond, verse 19. And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Let's stop right there for a moment. Let's read it. Verse 20, 19 to 26. "Our father worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me." Note that word, believe me. "The hour is coming when you will neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. But the hour is coming in our west when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah come, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Verse 26, Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. This is the glorious revelation. So here's the definitive text on the matter of worship. The God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. When Jesus said, verse 23, that the hour is coming and now is, Jesus is trying to open now to understand that the new covenant, the promise of the new covenant, is beginning to appear. Because this is the promise, this is the gift. And he inaugurated it when we do the Lord's Supper, the drink of this cup. This is the new covenant. And he invoked and signed it when he died on the cross. But this is the gift. And this is now the true worship. Next slide, please. Next. The result. So what will happen to the result? So we got now the full presentation of Jesus. And in this case, next slide, please. Verse 20. The response from the woman, when the woman responded, said, verse 19, he began to see. No, what happened is that I perceive that you are a prophet. So the woman here began now to know, understand, and to say, what it means is that He come now to the knowledge. Me to say he come now. She come now to her senses, and now this Jew, this Jewish rabbi, is not a stranger, but actually he is a prophet. At least he is a prophet. Okay, you have to know that he is talking to a prophet. At least a prophet. Now in verse 20, he responded. She responded. Our father worship in this mountain, and you Jews says that in Jerusalem is the place where ought to worship. So what is the response here from a woman? What it means is that she was simply saying that, what shall I do? How could I come to God? Me to say, because Jesus exposed her that she cannot be able to hide anything now, because if she is a prophet, how can he know that unless God have told him, right? But Jesus is God. He is more than a prophet. He knows everything. Now, she exposes her. Now, she now feel the weight of his sin, and she would like now to correct himself. So what it means in verse 20 is that, what shall I do? How could I come to God and repay and be right with God? How can I make myself clean? I want to know. Tell me, where should I go? Where should I go to worship? What steps should I do? What prayer should I do? Is that what Jesus was saying here? And Jesus responded with saying, No, you can't. Unless God reveals himself and give you the Spirit and the truth. No, you can't. Unless I will reveal to you the truth. And did Jesus reveal the truth to the woman? So mind you that in the story in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus asked Jesus, "What shall I do in order to enter the kingdom of heaven?" Did Jesus tell him what to do and how to do it? No. But Jesus guided Nicodemus to understand the scripture, which he knows. And it's because the Jews have the full scripture. The Samaritans doesn't have the full scriptures. They only follows the five books of Moses, the five Pentateuchs. But at least they have the promise of the coming Messiah, which was promised to the covenant of Abraham, to the promise to Abraham. And he would like to know. Right? And let's do that. So, but here, this is the glorious moment. Next slide, please. The hour is coming in our west. So it begins, it's about the new covenant. We need to say that time now has come because I'm here. That the grace of God is coming in our west. And you will understand the truth. Next slide. Because the Father is seeking for the true worshiper who worship him in spirit and truth. Next slide. For the true worshiper, the true worshiper is born from above. Unless you are born from above, you cannot be a true worshiper. Because you don't have the full truth. Because you need the Spirit and the truth in order to worship. That's the true worship. Cleansed and saved by God. Next slide. Verse 26, let's read. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." This is the glorious moment. This is the glorious moment. This is verse 26, is the most shocking revelation from Jesus. "I who speak to you am he." If you are waiting for the Messiah, I am the Messiah who is talking to you. This is the first time, mind this, this is the first time that Jesus reveals himself as the Messiah, coming out from his own lips. He did not reveal this to Nicodemus, and even to his disciples who is following him. But why to this immoral woman, immoral Samaritan woman? She was not a woman worthy of attention from the Holy God, right? But he did. Is that amazing? Next slide, please. Next slide. So, because here's the thing. The deeper we dig down to the Word of God, this is the form of worship. The higher we lift up our heart to worship God in spirit and in truth. So this is the requirement. Robin coming to God in the presence of God to worship Him. Without the Word of God, without the truth, you cannot truly worship God, because the Word of God will touch your heart, will convict your heart. The more truth you understand, the higher you lift up your heart to praise God and worship and thank God. That's the true worship. Next slide. So what happened to this woman? Was she saved? Go back a little bit. Go back. Let's read this one. Verse 39 to 42. Let's read together. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritan woman had come to him, he urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. 2 days. And many, after 2 days, so he stayed there 2 days of teaching and talking to the woman, because this is not, probably this is extended conversations with a woman, okay? Extended conversation with a woman. Not only did the woman hear the truth, but because Jesus stayed here 2 days of theology, of teachings, of Bible studies, probably, and many, verse 41, and many more believe because of his own word. Then this said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, but we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is the presentation of John. He presented, believe because of the word, because of the teaching of the word, because of the word from the lips of the great teacher, the divine teacher. You could only know, truly know Jesus Christ if you know the word of Christ, that he is the Christ, the Savior in the world. And this is the promised Messiah. This is the new covenant, the promise of the new covenant. Next, so what happened to the woman? What do you think? I think she was saved. Right? When she gets saved, what else? What are the results? Did she only the one get saved? Next, did you see this one? Many also were saved. Many were saved also because of this woman. Not only one person was saved in the city of Sychar, but the whole town, maybe the portion of the town, were also saved because of the presence of the great teachers and the divine teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that great? Is the story is great? Is that the wonderful story about the Samaritan? That's the result. You know what happened to Nicodemus when we talk about after the conversations? Nicodemus this one is instant, right? So after the conversation, the woman gets saved, right? After that. Or maybe in less than a day, in less than an hour, she gets saved. And the whole town gets saved. But Nicodemus, after the conversation, she was puzzled. He go back to the scripture. And Nicodemus probably saved between chapter 7 and chapter 19, right? That the wind blows and the heaven came down and convict Nicodemus and give him the gift of eternal life. So let's just be. So, lastly. So, by God's grace, Christ is speaking to you in a very special way, and he reveals himself to you by calling you and asking you. But he need a gift, he give you the gift. But unless you repent and have faith, you can have that, cannot have the gift. Not a drop of it. They won't be saved. Eternal life. God bless and have a wonderful Sunday.